Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without further ado, a royal edition of the James Whale Radio Show. Yes, welcome, my friends. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Rob producing the show today. Rob?
Yeah, Rob. I'm here.
Yeah. Good. No, if you're awake, that's fine. We can't hope for much more, let's face it. Jenny Bond, one-time royal correspondent, now, of course, a guest on many a reality television show. We'll be talking to her a little bit later on. She's on a cruise, apparently, in Germany on the River Rhine. So we'll talk to her later, see what we can find out. Now, it's going to be a very strange program, this, because it goes out when we know the result of the referendum, but we don't know the result of the referendum.
No, because it's a Wednesday at the moment.
And by the time this goes out, it'll be late on... Will it be after 10 o'clock on Thursday night?
I'll have to deliberately put it out at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, because if you don't, and I mention something about the referendum, like, for instance, I voted in, and I don't know whether we're in or out at this moment in time, I could be in big trouble.
Right, okay, well, I won't put it out before 10 o'clock then.
Can you make sure that you don't?
Yeah, I just have to make sure that all my clocks are okay.
Yeah, we'll do, because we'll be in huge trouble if that happens. I just wonder. I wonder how we voted. I don't know. As I say, I voted in. Have you? Oh, you haven't voted yet, have you? Because it's Wednesday. I had a postal vote. That's how I can tell you.
Why did you get a postal vote?
Well, then, because I was busy, I'm doing something else on Thursday. So that's the day of the... So I couldn't do it.
Okay.
I'm ensconced.
You where?
I'm ensconced.
Where's that?
Well, don't make me cough. I'm ensconced, which means I'm unable to do it physically. I didn't have the time on Thursday to do it.
You're talking in future tense, though.
I am ensconced on Thursday, yeah. But today is Friday, right?
I'm going to check it on Google Maps.
Yeah, okay. See if you can find ensconced, and I'll be fascinated to know. So anyway, whatever the result, we have to pull together. If we voted to leave the European Union, then we must bend over backwards to tell the rest of the world we're not really the arrogant sods that they might actually think we are. If we voted to stay, I think there's a sigh of relief all round, as far as I'm concerned. And hopefully we can improve the European Union and everything associated with it and make it better, fairer, and more democratic. And of course, if it doesn't, we'll just leave anyway. So it doesn't make any difference, does it?
We'll just hold another referendum.
Don't need to.
Do we not?
No, because if the government who we vote in to look after us and to run the country, if the government think that the European Union is doing something that we wouldn't want, they say to us, listen, they want us to do this or they want us to do that, and we're going to leave. They could call a general election, or they could just say to the European Union, I'm sorry, Britain doesn't want to do that. And then we could leave, or they could kick us out. So I don't really see what all the fuss is about.
So we could leave at any time anyway?
Well, I would have thought so, yeah. I mean, we are a sovereign nation after all. The argument I loved with all the people who wanted to leave was, oh, yeah, we'll get our country back. We'll get our borders back. We'll control that. And nobody, when you ask people who say that, I say, what are you going to do? How are you going to do that? Well, we've got to make sure who comes in here. Well, yeah, okay, you might make sure who comes in here, but you're not going to have any more control of the borders than we used to have. In fact, arguably, if we voted to leave, why would the French stop people over there? Why don't they just say, look, move your borders back to Britain and you can have anybody gets across there and you can talk to them there?
That is true, yes.
So why would the French bother to hold people up in Calais? I mean, I know Calais quite well and I feel so sorry for the people in Calais that, that have this problem at the moment. Which, in anyway, if I was actually being truthful, I think we should have taken all the children from Calais who there are a lot of children over there who have some sort of family members in Britain who are waiting to come over here for someone to look after them, and they've been kept over there because of what's been going on in this country. I think that's fairly uncivilized of us, to be honest. And I'm always amazed because everybody during the campaign were absolutely sure I was one of those outers. But as I wasn't really able to to say anything, I couldn't. It seems to me if in fact we have voted to leave, I hope we're going to be very careful about what the rest. If we're the first of many, and then the European Union and the whole stability of Europe begins to fall apart, French leave, the Germans leave, and so on and so forth. Russia under Putin then decides that he wants to claw back some of the countries that left the USSR. He wants to get back some of what they consider to be Russian territory. The world becomes a dangerous place. We go back about 80 years, don't we?
We've got good relationships with the Russians, though.
Not really.
No, I mean, as in the James Whale radio show.
Oh, well, we've got good relations with Russia because... Actually, can you put that up on the Facebook page?
I can do, yes.
Do you think it... Well, I don't think it would give up too much away, would it?
No, that's fine. I'll
do
that.
Russia are using the James Whale radio show as a tool to teach Russians how to understand the English.
Indeed, they are.
And so Rob, because he's bilingual, was that bilingual. He's put the Russian... Where did you get that from, by the way?
Well, I do a random search every now and again on Google to see what people are saying about the show.
Yeah.
And I ended up on a Russian website.
Oh, so we're on a Russian website where they're using this program to help teach people how to speak English.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we get money for that?
That is, we are a training aid.
Yeah. But we should get paid for that. Can you not get in touch with the Russian education ministry?
Yeah, but we can't spend their money in this country, though, can we?
Well, that they might send us presents or something, you know.
Mm.
Or they might put us in touch with an oligarch who could build us a radio station or something.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's worth a thought, old chap. I really do. I mean, this could be the beginning of the takeover of the world I've been looking for.
With the help of the Russians.
Well, with the help of the Russians and anybody else, you know, I am, as you know, I had a few problems with the Australians not long ago. Where the Australians are concerned, I've been slightly racist against Australians, although how that works, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
All because I sort of suggested that the Australians had bastardized the English language.
Okay. So
maybe we could offer our services to the Australians.
As a training aid to speaking...
So they can learn to speak English properly, yeah.
Okay. Right.
I mean, remember, of course, the Australian language is derived from a certain sort of English that was spoken by the lower classes who were sent to Australia as prisoners when it was first discovered.
So how did the Australians get their accent then?
Well, I think it's a mishmash of all sorts of stuff. People said it was a laziness because of the sun, a lazy way of speaking because of all the sun.
Does that mean if you go on the sunbeds too long, you sound like an Australian?
That's an interesting thought. I don't know. I mean, it's a very, very interesting thought. Maybe that's something that some university should invest some time in exploring.
What we need is some EU funding for some research.
That's a flipping good idea. Do you know, Robbo, that's one of the best ideas you've ever had. EU funding, if we're still in the EU, if we're not, we're knackered. EU funding for research into whether spending too much time on a sunbed can make you end up speaking with an Australian accent.
I'm making notes.
Do, because I think this is something we need to explore. In the meantime, hi, welcome to the program, James Whale and the James Whale Radio Show, right here on the James Whale Radio Show, on your favourite radio station, on your favourite tablets, on your favourite, well, anywhere, really. You can pick us up anywhere. And don't forget to check out our shop and check out our website at jameswellradio.co.uk. Now, I think it's time for us to bring in our special guest on the programme today. She's a lady that you will all be familiar with. Most recently, I suppose, she spent time in the... she was in the jungle, wasn't she, and I'm a Celebrity. She's done Celebrity MasterChef. She was the BBC's royal correspondent. She is, in fact, Jenny Bond. Jenny, thank you very much indeed for chatting to us here on the James Whale Radio Show. Now, before we start, I have to tell you that I am a huge, and people laugh at this. When I say this, they get hysterical with laughter. But I'm a huge, huge fan of the royal family.
Mm. Well, so a lot of other people.
So you're laughing at me too. I mean, the point is, everybody expects me to be completely the other way. But I think it's the greatest thing that we have. I mean, what would we have if we didn't have the royal family?
Well, I don't know if I totally agree with you, actually. I mean, I am a journalist and I report on the royals. I don't have an opinion, but I do actually admire the Queen a lot. But I've always said that I wouldn't find it a terrifying possibility at all if the country decided in a referendum, they decided that we should have a president instead, a Republican system. I don't think it would be a bad thing. I personally am very interested in politics, so I love all the political debating that goes on, and to have that for a president, I don't think it would be a bad thing. And then everyone always says, oh my God, well, we'll end up with President Blair or President Boris or something. Well, I don't think that would have to be the case at all. We could, for example, have President Mary Berry or President Richard Branson or President David Beckham. All of these, I think, would be very good ambassadors for the UK, which is essentially what the role is.
Well, yes, you might say that. I couldn't possibly disagree more, actually. But the idea of Mary Berry being the president fills me with horror, but okay. Why do you think, in that case, the country is so obsessed with knowing what the royals are doing?
Oh, because I suppose that one of the Queen's great strengths is she is an enigma. You know, even covering her as I have for more than 25 years, I don't really know what she thinks deep down. There are only very few people who know that. She has taken the view that she is first and foremost and absolutely an apolitical constitutional monarch, and that her political views should be wrapped up. I mean, I know a number of people during the referendum campaign have suggested a number of papers that they do know her views on that, but generally she has kept herself a bit of a puzzle to the rest of us. And she is enormously popular. I mean, having said that, I would be comfortable with a republic. I would if it was a democratic will, but I have absolutely no doubt that if there were to be a referendum, at least 70% of those who voted would say, we want to keep things as they are.
Just a matter of interest, if they did vote to remove the royals, how upset do you think members of the royal family would be? Or do you think some of them would sigh a great relief and say, well, we can get on with our lives for ourselves rather than living continually in the spotlight? I must admit, I feel pretty sorry for Wills and Harry because they don't really have any other option, do they?
They don't. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, to be a young person, an adolescent with your whole future before you, but without choices about your destiny, you know, what am I going to do? What job? Where shall I go? That just didn't happen for William, particularly. Harry has a little bit more leeway. But I think that, you know, I think it is tough. And I think that although there will be a measure of personal hurt and rejection, I think the younger generations would actually say, phew, we can just get on with being, you know, rather privileged rich kids on the block and have some privacy, some private life back.
Hmm. Okay, let's talk about you now, because I'm quite interested. You've been covering the royals for a long, long time, but now that's not your primary role. What exactly are you doing now, Jenny?
Well, I do all sorts of things now. And what exactly I'm doing now is I'm sitting on the River Rhine, waiting to depart on a cruise from Basel in Switzerland, where we started, up to Amsterdam. But unfortunately, the Rhine is closed. It's a bit like the M25. There's been such torrential rain over here in Germany, where I am now, that a large section of the Rhine is closed. And so we've been sitting in a place I never thought I would visit called Mannheim. And actually going on some great excursions, and we are finally going to set sail, I think, this evening up towards Amsterdam. But what I've precisely been doing this morning is I've been vinegar tasting. And by God, you know, vinegar tastes really good as an aperitif or a digestif, neither of which did I know.
Well, yes, of course, a vinegar is a cousin of cider, I suppose. Are you doing this for a television programme?
No, I'm going to be writing about it. I do quite a lot of travel writing, and I shall be writing some articles about this particular cruise. I do a lot of cruising, actually. I love it. I really love it. So I'm doing that, and apart from that, I do whatever comes into my inbox. The emails that come in are very, very varied, which is the joy of having given up being full-time royal correspondent. I am mistress of my own destiny and can do all sorts of exciting things, which is lovely.
Do you keep in touch with any members of the royal household or not?
Oh, a little bit. I see them here and there. I've seen quite a lot of all the royal family recently, because it's the season, if you like, which I don't do. But I was actually being interviewed by the BBC at Chelsea Flower Show, so I got to go there and saw them all there. I presented some Duke of Edinburgh awards, so I had met the Duke about a month ago. I told him he was looking very well. I said, "Nice to see you, sir. You looking very, very well." And he looked rather astonished at me and said, "Well, you're not looking so bad yourself either." Shuffled off, but he is looking good. He looks amazing for 95.
You did I'm a Celebrity, didn't you?
I did.
And that must have been an entertaining month. Well, that would have been better than a cruise, I imagine. You put up in, what, five-star luxury in Australia?
The Versace Hotel. Well, a bit over the top for my taste, actually, Versace, but it was very glorious. But I was only there, one or two nights at the beginning. And then, because I was lucky enough to be kept in the jungle to the end, to the last day, I was a runner-up. So Kerry and Peter Andre and myself, who were all there on the last day, we only got one night at the end, I think, in the Versace, because we all get, you know, bought up by newspapers and then flown home, and that was it. But I loved the jungle, absolutely loved it. Can you imagine 3 weeks of your life with no phones, no communication, no emails, no social media, just a touch of boredom, really? And most of us are so busy you don't have a chance to get bored. Interspersed with a bit of, you know, being put in a coffin full of rats or eating live insects or whatever, fish eyes, whatever you had to do. It was a great adventure, which is what I wanted.
I mean, obviously, doing a program like that pays you enough money to sort of make a few decisions on your life. Had you sort of decided before you did that that you needed a change and you wanted to see whatever other things were out there?
Well, I had to make that decision before I'm a Celebrity. I couldn't have worked for the BBC and been royal correspondent and gone to ITV for I'm a Celebrity. So I left the Beeb kind of in the December, and then the email came saying, would you like to do I'm a Celeb? And in January, mid-January, I think it was, I found myself here in the jungle. I didn't get paid anything like they do, I think, probably now. But we did, we bought my husband a bright red tractor, which cost quite a lot of money, and he absolutely loved his red tractor.
Now, do you live down in Cornwall, or is it Devon?
Devon, South Devon, yeah.
What do I know about Devon? Well, I know Salcombe. I used to go there a lot.
Well, if you go across the water from Salcombe to the sort of unposh bit, there's a little village with a great pub, does wonderful music, and it's a great place. And we live in that village, just across the water from Salcombe, in the sort of the untrendy, a bit more bohemian.
Well, yes, I've been watching some of your pictures you put up on Twitter, fairly saucy, if I might say.
Are they? I never know. I've usually had a jar or two by the time I put those up, and then I wake up the next morning and go, oh, shouldn't really have done that.
I wondered whether that was the case. Are you rebelling now against all your sort of proper work for the BBC?
Well, rebelling isn't really, no. I'm reverting to my natural state, really. I mean, when I was in the jungle, people said, oh, my God, you know, she's not this stuffy old broad who stands outside Buckhouse in a posh suit, actually. She's quite funny, you know. People seemed quite warm to me, which was very gratifying. Because I think a lot of the job rubbed off on me. And, you know, I'm a straightforward hack. I'm a journalist. And in my view, I've got a lot of journalist friends, and you'd appreciate this. I think we're quite a lively bunch, and I think we're quite an interesting bunch, picking us up a bit. But I do think we're interesting. So I'm just being me now, really.
Mm. Have you? You haven't done Celebrity MasterChef, have you?
Yes, I have. In a blink, and you would have missed me. I was out first. Yeah, I was rubbish. I was so rubbish. I mean, they terrified me, those two, and they panicked me. And the first thing I did, they'd said the knives were sharp, but the first thing I did was cut myself. Then I had blood everywhere, and I was trying to hide that from the cameras. And then, I was a disaster. And I'm afraid, yeah, first out. So had I got to day two, I'd practiced those dishes, and I think I would have been all right. But no, it was just the one programme.
Well, as long as they pay, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, it was fairly humiliating, but then, no, it doesn't really matter. And I do love doing fun shows. Yeah, I've just done a show for the Beeb, actually. It's just a new quiz show, Debatable, it's called. And I was on with Phil Tufnell and Angelica Bell, and we're a little team. And we had to debate various general knowledge questions. And that was great fun. Touch humiliating, but great fun.
Do you see this as the way you want to go now, or do you want to go back into news eventually?
No. Look, I'm 65 now, and I should be sort of, well, I am winding down to an extent. But as long as television wants me, and I get these offers of various jobs, be it radio, television, writing, I shall continue. But if there aren't older women like Angela and myself and Gloria, Hanford, you know, if we're not around, then television isn't a reflection of society. And I also think that I'm trying to grow old reasonably, gracefully, and as naturally as possible. So, yeah, I've got quite a lot of wrinkles. I admit I cover up my grey hair, but if women don't go on telly and say, look, this is what 65 looks like, get over it, then the pressure on the younger generation to look younger, you know, in their 40s and 50s is ridiculous. So I'm standing up for the older, wrinkly, mature lady.
Quite right. I think I'm the same age as you, and it gives me a reason to be even more disgraceful than I used to be.
That's true. That's true. You know, I think at a certain age, you're comfortable in your own skin. You know what you think. And if people don't get on with what you think, well, you know, you can be polite about it and you can politely disagree, but, you know, you've got to put your point of view across, which is what I do.
It might be time for you to be one of the hosts on Loose Women, I think.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be fun. I've been on Loose Women, but not as not one of the hosts. Yeah. There's a bit of a problem living in Devon, but I'm always going up and down the motorways. Yes, put a word in for me, would you?
What about a radio show? You haven't presented a radio show, as far as I know. Or maybe you did something on Radio 4. But what about a music show? What about you becoming a DJ?
I presented the Today program quite a lot, actually. I was sort of reserved, but I presented the Today program for a long time with Brian Redhead, with John Humphreys. Sue McGregor and I were the first two women ever to present the Today program, you know, with no men, no male presenters. And it was thought so momentous an occasion that I think the Daily Express came and took a picture. I mean, how ridiculous is that? But I did a lot of radio because I worked in radio for 11 years. I presented that, presented the PM show. And it's great. It's a great medium. I love it. I'm a complete radio junkie, an absolute junkie. I have radios in every single room of my house.
Well, I think then, Jenny, it's time for you to move over to commercial radio now. There's a new talk radio station that's just launched. There are various other commercial stations, LBC and the like. Maybe you should be looking there.
Well, of course, my husband worked for LBC IRN for 15 years. He was very well known at LBC. He was better known in London than I was, actually.
Well, yes, I know. And I've never understood why the two of you actually didn't do a show together.
Well, probably because I was always at the Beeb. I was sort of Beeb through and through 26 years, but that would have been fun. But I don't know if I'd have got a word in. He's quite chatty.
What now for the cruise? I'm interested. You're in Mannheim, did you say now?
We're in Mannheim, and we are going downriver, which to me seems upriver because it's going north, but actually downriver to Amsterdam, stopping off at various places I've never heard of on the way, and doing weird things like tasting vinegar, but that was great. And it's just a very short cruise. Then back for a couple of weeks, and then I'm going on Cunard, taking my daughter to the Mediterranean, because I lecture about royalty on the Cunard ships. And we're having a little whiz around the Med. And then back to enjoy summer in the valley in Devon.
Well, be very careful in the Mediterranean. You know, all sorts of things going in on in the south of the Mediterranean.
You're referring to?
Well, I'm just thinking of the problems in Syria and Libya and all those southern sort of countries that border the Mediterranean down there.
I hope we don't see any poor souls on the high seas, but at least it's warm. But that's the season when they do try and get, you know, make their escape from the terrible lives they're living. So yes, I hope we won't see any of the poor souls.
It's a strange world in which we live at the moment, isn't it?
I know. I have not enjoyed the divisions during the referendum campaign. I expressed my views, which were for remaining, quite clearly, and enjoyed the debates with my friends. But it seems to have sown such division and vitriol and hostility through our lovely, once really rather united nation, that I find it quite depressing towards the end.
The problem with this programme is we're doing this on the Wednesday just before the referendum, and it'll go out on the day after, when everybody will know the result on the Friday. And so I have no idea which way it's going to go, which will be rather interesting, really. But I agree with you. I think some of the I don't know. I've sat and I've hosted phone-in programmes on a number of radio stations, and people seem not to understand what it's all about. I have to be honest with you. I think we're voting to stop immigrants coming to this country.
Should we ever have been given the choice, quite frankly? Are we sufficiently knowledgeable and qualified? And I've read and studied and listened and watched, and still I don't know if I'm really qualified to make the decision, but I was from the outset for remaining with Europe. That's how I feel about it. But I don't like what it's done to the country, and I just hope that now the democratic will prevail, and we'll all unite around the decision the country has made, and we'll just get on with it and get on with one another again.
Well, yes, and I hope whichever the decision is, that we can continue to have a good relationship with Europe, and that if the vote's gone one way, that Europe doesn't think we're just very standoffish and we don't want to be involved with anyone.
I know. And travelling as we have actually from on Sunday, we started in the UK, we went to Switzerland, and from Switzerland on the same day we then passed through a bit of France and into Germany. So four countries in one day. And it was brilliant, actually. I mean, I know Switzerland are not part of the EU, and we did have to show our passports when we arrived. But after that, we literally just drove through along these roads, and you'll just see a little building by the side, and that was the border. And, you know, one minute you're in France, the next you're in Germany. It was wonderful to experience.
I think perhaps because we have this sort of 20, 25 miles of water between us, at the narrowest point, and we consider we're an island, of course, thousands of years ago, we were all joined together. It's a strange situation in which we find ourselves. I had a call from a girl, her name was Rosie, on one of the programs, 12 years old, very, very bright, and she said, you know, James, the thing is that I don't think anybody over 50 really should be allowed to vote in this referendum. I can't vote, and it's going to affect my life and not so much of the older people.
That's a view that was expressed quite frequently, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, it is about the younger generation. But sadly, an awful lot of those I met, the younger people, felt even less qualified to make a decision than us, you know, who've got a bit of experience of politics and life. So, but it's their world, yeah, and I hope we're handing them, we'll hand them a good UK, if it is united, yeah, to live in.
A world where everybody lived with a certain amount of peace and success.
No, I loved that cartoon some time ago. It was a refugee boat being rescued by the crew of a very, very large boat. So you saw a large boat and a small boat. And the large boat, people on the large boat were shouting down, "Where are you from? Where are you from?" And they shouted up, "We're from the world." And I thought, well, really, that does kind of say it all.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that's come across to me in the is how quiet... Actually, I'm quite glad they've been quiet. How quiet varying religions have been on this. Because I you know, when I see people washed up on beaches, small children, their mothers and other people washed up on beaches, and I see the great religions of the world saying very little and doing even less, I begin to wonder why they have so many followers.
That's a question, yes, I often ask myself. Don't get me started on religion, yeah. I'm a very happy, confirmed atheist, and I think that's the way to go myself. But if people have faith then, and it gives them some meaning and some pleasure, well, then who am I to decry it? But it's not for me.
No, and I agree with you, but it's when people want to force their views and then do very little to help when other people are in a situation that annoys me intently, I must admit. You know, people who say one thing and then do something completely different. Which is probably the reason we're in the muddle we are, people doing that, politicians, churches. I mean, I think that's the thing, that's the reason I like the royals so much. It's because they're there by accident of birth.
And they do an awful lot for charities, you know. The Princess Royal, for example, I mean, she works very hard, and she's exactly my age, but she's 4 days older than me, actually. You know, she could be thinking about slowing down, but she carries out more engagements than anybody else, and is up and down this country. And yeah, it's all for her charities. It's all to fly their flag and raise their funds. And it's good work, you know, it really is.
And she gets a lot of stick, doesn't she?
She does, from journalists, because she's not very very cooperative with journalists. She's not very cooperative with me, or never was. And so that makes it a bit tricky to cover the things that she does, which is a shame. But whatever my sort of views about her or feelings about her, I will always say she is extremely professional, extremely well-briefed and extremely hardworking.
Do you know, the thing I saw the other day that amazed me, the Trooping of the Colour, the Queen's official birthday, and here is she and the Duke of Edinburgh remembering he's 5 years off being 100, going to the whole of the parade, and during the parade, he's in full uniform as well, and those the bearskin that they wear is pretty heavy, but he managed to stay there for the whole time. I don't know how he does it.
I know, they are blessed with incredible stamina. At St. Paul's, yes, the day before I was there at St. Paul's, and a special handrail had been installed on the steps. They're quite steep steps. There's a lot of them outside St. Paul's. And so they put the handrail up. And the Queen did touch it once or twice on the way down the steps, but not the Duke. He had his hands behind his back and he just strolled down the steps. Yeah, they're blessed with very good health. The only sign I see with the Duke is he wears a hearing aid now, which you can see, and he's got a little bit shorter with time, but he's pretty tough. They both are. I know they're very well looked after, and it's an awful lot easier if you don't have all the hassle that the rest of us have. But even so, they are really astonishing. Because I think it's very exhausting, you know, doing a room, working a room, going around shaking people, saying, "Oh, how are you?" That's quite wearying. And they do it a lot.
Do you know, I thought, when I was feeling sorry for myself the other day and thinking, gosh, I'm old, and I was thinking, well, when Prince Philip or the Queen were my age now, I was in my 30s. So think of it that way.
Yeah, oh gosh. Can you be doing this for another 30 years? I know. It's amazing. Well, I hope that by the time I'm their age, I shall be... I hope I am as active as them. I was going to say, I've got my feet up. But I think being active and taking on challenges is what keeps you young. And that's what I kind of do in my life. I stay pretty active and I do take on a lot of different challenges. And I scare myself. I frighten myself by... going on the chase or something and not knowing any of the answers, or being Debbie Harry on Stars in Their Eyes and being awful at it, but terrified, but doing it. And even back to when I presented the Today programme, used to the night before, I'd think, I just don't know if I'm qualified to do this. And I'd go and I'd do this and interview all these cabinet ministers. And at the end, I'd think, yeah, I did it. I may not have done it the best and I'll do it better next time, but I did it. Which were my words when I stepped out of that coffin full of rats in Australian jungle. I just jumped up and down and said, I did it. I think if you keep on doing that, challenging yourself, then you probably will still be sprightly at 95.
Jenny, I think you'll be sprightly at 105, never mind 95. Listen, thank you very much indeed for taking time out of your journey to chat with us today.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. I shall go back in the sunshine now.
Right, shall we... thank you, Jenny, very much indeed. She's done a lot, hasn't she?
She has done a lot. I didn't realise she'd done all that.
Yeah, I don't... Well, she has done everything. There's... in fact, if you go on her Twitter site, Jenny Bond on Twitter, and she has put some photographs of some rather rude sculptures. She's... I don't know whether she found them or she made them on the beach, obviously.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I love to go and look at the photographs that people put on their Twitter sites.
You haven't been checking mine out, have you?
Yeah, I have. It's appalling, quite frankly. I don't even want to talk about it on the air.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
In fact, I want to tell you something about that, actually. Let's play a bit of music, and I'll tell you while the music's playing. What about Gavin Chappell-Bates?
Yeah.
At the Church of Rock and Roll.
Down on your knees. Wasted days spent at school. All I learned is from my own holy Bible. And the
The Church of Rock and Roll. You can download that, of course, at the usual place.
Gavin Chapel Bates.
That's the one. Mm. Yep. And did you see, by the way, did anybody see Wales playing? Sorry, did anybody see Wales slaughtering Russia? Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. Now we're in with the Russians.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say slaughter.
No,
no,
no, no. Just we won in Euro 16.
We did. I say we because I'm not Welsh, unfortunately, but I do live in a Welsh household.
You do? Mm. Yes, because my mother was Welsh, that actually makes me Welsh, doesn't it?
You're more Welsh than I am, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they played fabulously. So that's all I'm going to say. There's another problem we haven't spoken about, and maybe we should have done, and that is, of course, that now, whilst this program is going out, Donald Trump is in the house.
In the house.
Yeah, in the house. Donald Trump is in the house. I was, and I'm wondering if we voted to leave the EU, which he said, I don't know. I mean, Obama wanted us to stay, and he said he didn't care or he wasn't bothered if we left. But I'm concerned that he might become president.
Could be worse.
How much worse could that be?
All right, then, it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I mean, we put this out on Facebook, and I asked the question, Donald Trump arrives this week in Scotland to open his new golf course. Who's joining? Mark Moody says the SAS. Not really sure what that means, but still. And Steve Samford said, hopefully, it's all a bit, this is a bit naughty, really. Kieran Fox says he can play with his ball and his small wood. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Jackie Wright, probably Farage, is joining him there. Dave Benjamin says, we think we've got problems with the in-or-out referendum. Spare a thought for the poor Americans. They've got to decide between Clinton and Trump. A lose-lose situation. Steve Karen says, give me Trump over the liar Clinton any day. Oh, be careful what you wish for, Stevie. Gordon McClashan says, good time for you, James, to try your archery skills out. Do you think he'd let me do archery golf on the new Trump golf course in Scotland? I'd be interested to know, because of the way the majority of people think of Donald Trump. I mean, if you've seen him speak, he's an absolute idiot. And you wouldn't get away with what he's done, I don't think, I hope, in this country. But he has been appalling. Against disabled people, against Hispanic people, against Muslims. He's been, it's just out-and-out racism, to be honest with you. I wonder how many people will want to be associated with his golf club.
He only owns it, though, doesn't he?
That doesn't matter. It's his golf club. Presumably the money goes to him.
That's true, yeah.
Do you want to be involved in putting money into his pocket?
I'll go as a guest, then.
You're going to go as a guest?
Yeah, because then I'm not putting any money into his pocket.
It's a good point. I suppose that's the best way to do it, isn't it, really? Yeah, best way to do it. Right, should we have a little word from our sponsors?
Tech Talk, sponsored by Oda UK. Sweat. Smell as good as your friends. Sweat. The 100% recycled new body spray from Oda UK.
That sounds good to me, and thank you very much indeed. Of course, we've got lots of sponsors on this program. Ford, Audible, don't forget, download Audible audiobooks for your summer holidays, and you can get absolutely free my rendition of Almost a Celebrity, read by my own self.
Wow.
And there I was, locked up in a recording studio for about 3 days, reading aloud. At the end of it, I felt like I'd been waterboarded.
Were the other people still there when you finished?
No, they'd all gone. In fact, I had to phone somebody to come and let me out.
Crikey. Oh, dear.
So anyway, yes, that's a proper product that we've got on board now, is it?
Yes, I've been sent some samples. I've tried it out. Everyone thinks I've gone to the gym. It's excellent stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, send me a bottle. I'd like to try that.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you don't like that? Check out the shop. We've got some fabulous James Whale T-shirts and baseball caps, one of which I'm wearing at this very moment. Okay. Shall we now do tech talk and film talk, your two little bits in the programme.
Okay. This week I'm going to talk about Adobe Creative Cloud.
Right, you talk about it.
Basically, they make software for, they do Photoshop, that kind of thing. They've brought out a new thing called Face Shaping Technology.
Nice.
And now they can make you smile. You know, if you're not smiling in a picture, they can make you smile. Yeah.
Oh, I don't like smiling in pictures. You look gormless. I don't like smiley pictures of people. I like, you know, proper pictures of people when they don't know they're being photographed. I don't fancy that. So it's like that making, you know, giving you a bunny's ears or something in the photograph.
Okay. What about if your eyes are closed when the photo was taken, you can open the eyes?
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah. That's a very good idea.
Yeah, I could do that.
That would do away with having to have so many photographs taken.
And for those people that can't afford plastic surgery, they can also reshape your nose.
Can they?
Mm.
Well, then you wouldn't really need to have it done. Does it affect you in reality or not?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
What a shame. What a shame. That's tech talk. Those are the technical things we need to know about how we can change our faces and make ourselves look beautiful.
Yeah, cheaper than plastic surgery.
Trouble is, of course, when people meet you in reality, they get a shock.
Usually that's the case, but not now with my amazing new body spray.
No, that I've got to get those pants and vests, you know, that hold you in.
Have you now?
Yeah, I think they'll be great. I'm going to get some of those. Yeah, absolutely. Right, shall we finish then with questions, as we normally do?
Okay.
Okay.
I will try my best this week. Seems we've got new sponsors and everything.
New sponsor, do this well. And for anybody who would like to send a question, don't forget, go to our Facebook page, tweet us at The James Whale Show, or you could email james.whale@gmail.com, isn't it?
jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
I keep getting that wrong. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
What is it
again?
jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, we should do a little, we should get a sponsor for the address, shouldn't we?
Or we could pre-record the address and press a button.
That might even be easier. And I'm starting this campaign. I don't like, you know, phone numbers where everybody starts 07 whatever. Because it's not an O, it's a zero.
No O.
No O. So 07, whatever it happens to be, or 08. Instead, we always say 08, and it's not, is it? Why do we do that?
It's easy to say, though.
Well, it's not. O is not as easy to say as zero.
O is not as easy to say as zero.
Oh, never mind. I just thought I'd mention it, and now you've made it into a big thing.
Sorry. Can we do the questions?
Yeah, I should think so. Yeah, do the questions. Get on with it.
All right. Mark.
Try and read them properly as well, can you?
Okay. Have you finished creaking your chair?
Right. Yeah, I think I have. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Mark Gibbs.
Oh, hang on. I just want to creak it. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. I'm just settling myself. Move the microphone. There we are. Okay. I'm ready.
You sure?
Yeah.
Mark Gibbs. Should it be a punishable crime for the media to publish lies? I believe it should be. No more fines after they've made their money.
It's an interesting point. If they publish a lie in the media, then they can be sued and dealt with. Of course, you have to be absolutely sure that they've lied and not just said something that you don't like. But I thought, I think if somebody in the media says something that is blatantly wrong, you can be sued for it, obviously, and people are.
Okay. Dave Billings. Should alcohol sponsor sport?
I see no reason why not. Drink aware. Nobody's forcing you to drink far too much. But, you know, the odd tipple whilst watching a sporting match seems to me to be perfectly acceptable. Why do we always have to worry about those people who can't control themselves? I know it's very sad and very, if you're an alcoholic, very, very bad for the family and everything else. But we cannot run our lives and society for those people who can't cope. We have to help people who can't cope absolutely. But, you know, the vast majority of people have a little... Some people drink too much, but, you know, it is still a free world.
Peter Stein, I think that's...
Peter Stein?
Is that right?
Yeah, I thought, if you say so, I'm not looking at the screen at the moment. If you want me to turn it on, I will.
Could be Stein-y.
I think Stein will be a good, probably a good rendition, but just ask the question.
Okay.
Come on.
Hardback or Kindle?
Yeah. I like a good hardback from time to time, but I suppose a Kindle is probably an easier way to go.
Okay.
I've got an iPad, so I wouldn't bother with a Kindle.
Correct.
Yeah. And I don't think you can beat Apple, can you?
No.
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 Unless Samsung want to send us their latest tablets and we could road test them.
That's very true, yes. Send us some tablets.
Yeah, good idea.
The medical ones, please. Right. Darren Smith.
Darren Smith.
Darren, that was easy, that one.
Darren Smith, go on. Yeah.
If we have left the EU, I changed that, you see, because it did said if we leave the EU.
Mm.
I don't know if that's the right way of doing it.
Well, if we have left the EU, yes, because at this particular moment, everybody listening to this program knows whether we have or whether we haven't. The only people who don't are you and me.
That's right.
Because we're actually recording this before the referendum has concluded.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm hoping we voted to stay in.
Yes, you've said that before.
And what are you voting for?
I can't say.
Why?
Because it's not 10 o'clock yet.
Yeah, but I've already said it, so you can say it.
Well, that was a bit foolish, wasn't it?
Well, no, because you voted to stay in as well. Otherwise, as I said, you wouldn't be employed on this program anymore. And that's the way democracy works, old love.
Yes, I definitely voted in.
There we are. There we are. In like the whole of Wales.
Right. In the referendum, yeah. Okay. So his question basically is, how long...
You did vote in, didn't you?
how long do
You're
I
You're sure you voted in, aren't you?
Can we move on? How long do I have to wait...
I certainly hope you voted in.
How long do I have to wait for a more powerful Hoover?
How long do you have to wait for a more powerful Hoover?
Yes.
Is that what you want, a more powerful Hoover?
No, that's Darren Smith's question.
Don't be ridiculous. Get yourself an industrial vacuum cleaner and it'll work wonders, stupid boy.
Mary Hinge.
Yeah, of course, Mary, you are. Yes, go on.
If it is a Brexit vote, here we go.
Yeah.
Will it mean the return of the fast-tracked passport control?
When do we have a fast-tracked passport control? Can somebody remind me of that?
Do you not remember? We used to.
The answer to that, yeah, the answer to that, Mary, is no, it won't. In fact, probably quite the reverse, because all these people go, we've got to take back control of our borders. So it probably means we won't be able to get in or out of the country for hours.
Okay, Jim Callan.
Are
England ever going to stop being boring?
Are England? Oh, what, are we talking football or what?
I assume so, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Watch Wales. It's more entertaining.
It certainly is. And finally, I think I got away with my vote there. And finally, Phil Wardy Ward, how long does the... How long? I've messed it up now, see? I'll start again. I'll edit this.
I would, because quite frankly, I mean, for a man who's reasonably intelligent, your reading ability is absolutely appalling.
I have a certificate that says I have the reading age of a 7-year-old. Thank you very much.
I'm surprised it's that old, but anyway, go on.
Phil Wardy Ward. See, now I'll put this in, and then take the old one out, and then the show will run nice.
Well, really, if you cut that bit out and I hear that you cut the bit out where you make a cock of yourself, I will be very, very angry.
Phil Wardy Ward, I'll have to do it again now.
How did you vote?
Am I ever going to get this out?
I hope not. Oh, right, go on.
Phil Wardy Ward, how does the man who drives the snowplow get to work?
That's a fascinating question. And it has a fascinating answer. The man who drives the snowplow gets to work with a special adaptation for his car. That means he has a snowplow adapted to the front of his car, plus he has snow shoes to make sure that he always gets to work if there is a snowfall. If there's a snowfall forecast the day before, then they think it's going to be serious, then he sleeps in his snowplow.
That's obvious when you say it, really.
Of course, of course. It's as obvious as the way you voted.
Yeah, I've got to go out now.
Yeah, so have I. So, listen, join us again right here, same time, same channel, next week. And if you can't wait that long, well, there's 100-odd hours of this stuff. You might want to go and listen to my interview with Nigel Farage. Cheer yourselves up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
See you next time.
Bye.
To the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.